Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
This episode of The Gays Are Revolting is brought to you by The Wine Gallery.
Give the gift of a wine subscription to someone you love this Christmas.
Visit thewinegallery.com.au and get $25 off your first box when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout.
This episode of The Gays Are Revolting is brought to you by Koala.
Koala mattresses have a removable, washable cover, keeping your mattress looking good and feeling fresh.
Visit koala.com and get $150 off purchases over $1,000 when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today. Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Gays Revolting and Instagram at Gays Revolting Pod.
Wayo, welcome back.
Wayo.
So I'm going to double back on everything I said last week about reading and introduce you all by reading you all for Phil.
Yay.
We've got all four of us back.
We're all back together.
Regular.
Happy family.
I have been here every week.
Yes. First off, we're joined by Kyle, who you may have seen dressed up as the Scarecrow for Halloween this week, which is quite apt considering how brainless his performance is on the podcast. Also, honoured to be joined by Tom, who's single-handedly keeping the sex trade alive in Bali. It's quite an honour to have you here. And it took a lot of time for me to actually figure out something mean to say about Mikey, but I think this week I am actually going to read Mikey.
Okay.
And lastly, other than me, of course, we've got Mikey, whose earlobes aren't the only thing that's stretched and worn out.
Oh,
I love it.
And there we have it, guys. Wow.
And of course, Luke, how are you, darling?
I'm good. Hello. No one yelled or threw a rock at me this week.
That's good.
So we're in a new space. We have to like respect it.
So coming up good. How was everyone's week?
Yeah, good. I just got back from Brisbane like a day ago.
How was Brizzy?
It was fucking
hot. Did you go to, what's the gay bar, Fluffy?
Yes.
Yes, was it heaven?
Yeah, well, it was Halloween on Sunday. Mm. I went dressed as Luke said, a scarecrow, and it was a lot of fun.
You looked
adorable. So I lost my keys and wallet.
Your hot brother looked very good as the Tin Man as well.
You need to back off. So what happened to your face?
So I went to Halloween.
Sorry, the grazes on your face. I wasn't being mean.
Thank you. So I went to Halloween dressed as a Coles employee who'd been attacked by a middle-aged woman.
Yeah.
And had like Coles little things, you know, the minis.
The Coles minis.
Coming out of my face with blood dripping down. And I used this fake blood that I got from this proper makeup shop, and it would not, like, I bought the proper rubbing alcohol to take it off, and it would not come off. And I'd had a couple of wines, and I was like scrubbing it with a towel, and I've given myself carpet burn. So now I've got big scabs on my face that people keep asking.
It looks like you've fallen over.
It looks like I've had a fall. And the scary thing is the amount of people that have not said to me, did you fall over? That have said, have you had a fall? Because you only ask that to old people.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Have you had a fall, sir?
Sir,
Yeah, so that's my battered face. But, you know, at least it's my face this week.
I think the funniest thing is we all met for a drink before this and none of us asked because we all assumed it was a sex injury.
Yeah.
Oh.
you know what the really funny thing is? I got an Uber to the party I was going to when I had the Coles little things coming out of my head. And it was like a few nights before Halloween. And the Uber driver didn't say a single thing. He was just like, "How's your day?" I was like, "Yeah, good." Thinking he's going to bring it up. He's like, "Oh, yeah, where are you off to?" I was like, just going to a bar. He's like, "Oh, yeah, cool." And just didn't acknowledge that I had Coles minis coming out of my head.
It's like those damn gays.
So I stupidly this week decided not to wear sunscreen and ended up very, very sunburned, which has been horrible, and sleeping has not been great. But in turn, I've had to wear a full face of makeup to work every day because, like, my face is literally, like, as red as a lobster.
Really? I couldn't tell at all.
Oh, thank you.
You are so good at makeup.
The makeup skills. I've been enjoying wearing makeup again, but, like, at the same time, it is such a nuisance. But I've gotten so many compliments. And everyone's just like, your skin looks so nice. I'm just like, what doesn't my skin look not, like, good?
How dare
like,
you,
what are you talking about? Like, it got me thinking about more men wearing makeup now because, like, I see guys everywhere and I'm just like, damn, like, your skin is incredible.
Yeah.
Is it because you're wearing makeup? Is that what it is? Is it because, like, you just have, like, a better skincare routine? Like, and...
Oh, you said more men. I feel like... I thought you said Mormons wearing makeup. I was like, what? Okay, I don't know how that links, but okay.
But no, like, obviously women have a pressure to wear makeup, and like more and more you're seeing more male makeup artists come into the industry, regardless of sexuality.
Yeah. I would say more that I think it's just becoming an option for everybody now, whereas I feel like there's less women wearing makeup because they now feel like it's more of an option to wear it. It's sort of like an opt-out, opt-in thing. Definitely, you're right. I've noticed a lot more guys wearing it. Personally, I don't feel any pressure to wear it at all.
Yeah.
I'm kind of into guys that wear it. I think it can look really good.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't make a decision on whether to fuck someone or date someone based on whether or not they wear makeup.
Totally. I think it's a new trend, I think, that's on the rise. And
it's not really new. I think it's just becoming like, because if you look at like 80s, like there was heaps of male makeup.
Yeah.
Oh, but that was like fashion.
Yeah, it's just
like that was like,
the
really bright
stuff.
Kind of stuff. Like, yeah, thinking like David Bowie.
And like Boy George and stuff. But even then, like, going out, guys would wear makeup, and that was the style that they would wear it in. Now it might be more natural, but that's but I think it's more common day to day.
Yeah, because we're at the stage now where makeup brands are releasing products specifically.
Seen all over ASOS, like shopping on ASOS, they have like a specific brand targeting men.
Like, I feel like I feel like I have an obligation to mention JB every episode.
Yeah,
but JB and I love playing with makeup.
Yeah,
and it's something we like talk to each other about whenever we're alone and his girlfriend's not around. Be like, maybe we should try on some of the eyeshadow. He's a straight male, so it's something that's not just specifically gay men. Is this interest in like these products and how it can change our appearance. I think it's also tied to a rise in YouTube culture. I feel like a lot of these brands have been kickstarted by male YouTubers who are makeup artists. I also love that because there's a shit ton of drama.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
I just get sucked in because I don't do anything like the crazy makeup or whatever, but like on my Instagram popular page or YouTube, it's so therapeutic. Like, I just get mystified. It's like watching infomercials. Like, I just watch these people just, it's so meticulously apply all their makeup and all the different like stages, and like it's really interesting.
As someone that does makeup for performing, like in drag when I'm doing old lady makeup, that's actually my least, like a lot of drag queens and performers that do characters stuff quite enjoy that process of putting on the makeup. It actually drives me nuts, and I stand it. I'm like, I just need to get this done so I can go do the character. So I think that's why I've never really wanted to try it in my boy life, because I hate doing it.
When you become Edith Vale for like Granny Bingo and stuff, like how long does that take you to apply your face?
It depends how much we're getting paid for the gig. To be quite honest with you. So like, if we're going to do a proper full face, it's probably about 2 hours.
Do you have breaks? You're just like, okay.
No, it's just sort of sitting like drinking and chatting while you're doing it, but it's probably about a solid 2 hours. Comedy Festival last year, by the end of Comedy Festival, we'd done it every single night for 2 months. Oh, so by the end of Comedy Festival, I think we'd gotten it down to about 45 minutes.
Wow.
But so anywhere between an hour and 2 hours for a standard face. What about you?
Yeah, Mikey, you do drag.
Yours is much more fierce.
Yeah.
Like, I used to love getting into drag, and like, as time has gone on, I've sort of just been like, this process takes so damn long.
Yeah.
And like, I like when I'm at the end of it and it's great, but it's that 2 to 3 hours that I'm sitting there putting stuff on my face, and I'm like, can someone else do it, please?
Yeah, which is interesting though, because do you find a lot of queens really like that process? Like, you see a lot of queens doing their Instagram lives while they're doing it, or
and they'll have a chat with everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hate it.
You should do
whereas it's so much concentration for me. Like, if someone else is in the room, it takes me an extra hour because I'm distracted talking to them. But then, like, for ages, I was just like, nah, don't want to wear makeup as a boy. Mm-hmm. And then there were, like, a few events that I'd gone to that were, like, queer events. And I was just like, oh, stuff it. Let's just, like, put some makeup on. And I actually really enjoy doing that because it only takes me half
an hour. That when, like, were you doing, like, natural makeup as a boy or, like, kind of doing, like, bright colors?
It's more, like, natural skin. No, like, carving or anything or contouring. Yeah. And then just, like, a really pretty eye. And, like, that's fun and easy. And, like, I really enjoy doing that because it's half an hour, 45 minutes tops. Like, it's no biggie.
Tom should turn us all into grannies.
Oh, yeah, we'll have a granny party.
How funny would that be?
Yeah. It's funny because I was actually going to ask, because I see a lot of people complaining about on Twitter, you know, with the rise of more men wearing makeup and it being intrinsically more of a feminine thing, there is a discussion forming against the masculinity side and the mask for mask versus members of the community who are starting to explore and experiment with makeup. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of posts clapping back at people who potentially have mask for mask profiles, then putting on a bit of eyeliner or eyeshadow for Halloween or whatever and saying, girl, I'm fishy tonight. Yeah. I'm a femme. Like, we've talked about identifying as queer, and you mentioned, like, if you're going to a queer event, you whack on a bit of makeup.
Yeah.
Feels good, and it feels fun to be in that environment. So, do you find that that's an expression of your identity as well?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And
so, I find, like, this resurgence of men wearing makeup is really tied in with also the resurgence of the queer movement and the blurring of gender lines.
That's it.
And the comfortability of people.
It's, yeah, sort of being comfortable with your own masculinity and femininity at the same time, whereas, like, I myself am very comfortable with both. I feel sorry for the men that are still conflicted with that whole situation.
Just but do you.
That sort of ties into what you were saying earlier, Luke, about learning off YouTube and that sort of thing, because when you think about it, like, doing makeup is a bit of an art form sometimes. It looks like a toddler's done it, and sometimes you might end up looking like a Picasso rather than an oil painting, but it is an artwork thing, and and with any art form you have to learn how to do that, and someone teaches you. And girls learn from their mums how to do their makeup. Yeah. And obviously they then add to that and develop it themselves once they get older. Mm. But that's something that is traditionally taught as a motherly, daughterly thing. Boys don't learn from their father how to do makeup and stuff.
You didn't learn makeup from your dad?
No. And now with the advent of YouTube, all these guys that didn't learn how to do it have a way to sit at home, like, not embarrass themselves by trying to just guess their way through it and go out looking like a dick, but sit at home and watch it on YouTube and learn that from online tutorials, and then go out and express the way they want to feel on their skin.
Does anyone have a favorite YouTube makeup? Manny, what is it? Manny MUA.
Manny MUA can, like, die in a hole. I don't know. Jeffrey all the way. I've always been Jeffrey Star.
Is he the guy? Jeffrey Star.
Yeah. So, like,
he's that young kid who does, like, and he did the Ariana Grande, like,
James.
That one. When I first started going out clubbing and stuff with my brother, he will quite often do, like, natural makeup on himself, and he would offer to do it on me. I would accept sometimes and be like, yeah, because I want to feel confident, but I'd always be so conscious. I'm like, no, you're putting on too much. You're gonna notice that there's makeup on me and freak out. He's like, oh, chill out. But now, like, I'm a lot better with it. I think I genetically kind of have just really dark rings under my eyes at all times. So, like, quite often, like, I will wear, like, a bit of concealer under my eyes just for, like, confidence and everything.
For a bit of brightness.
And, yeah. Well, it's just, like, I get really dark rings and I am very conscious of it. So, I'll just do that and just feel a bit better.
In Japan, I got some concealer and, like, BB cream.
Yeah.
Because for, like, a brown brother, like, a few years ago, getting, like, things that matched the skin tone was very difficult. So I remember going to Japan and stocking up and just using it for little spots and like under the eyes and things like that.
That's actually one thing I wanted to ask you guys about, because a lot of the different makeup companies are changing the name of the shades that they have, where it used to be like flesh colored, tan colored,
other,
African night. Like, it was very wide as the standard. And also, I've also noticed, I don't know if you've noticed, Mikey, as a fellow drag queen, but stockings used to be flesh colored, tan, and then some sort of, like, ethnic reference for anything darker than that.
Oh, it's changed massively over time, because now with social media and all the beauty gurus on YouTube, they're calling out all these brands being like, you have 10 shades for white people and 2 for black
Wasn't
brown
Rihanna a big thing Fenty. For that? Didn't she release like Fenty. A whole lot of different shades?
It's like 50 shades of color, like the biggest range you've ever seen in life, and it's every color of person. Amazing. To the darkest of dark skin, to like the warmest undertone, to the fairest of fair. She's done in such an incredible job and like set such a high standard for the beauty industry that now if anyone else comes out with a shade range less than 20, everyone's like, no, that's not how you do it anymore. Because like, even now I struggle to find a shade that's correct because I am like of mixed race. It's not always the right sort of undertone for my skin color.
Yeah.
So I end up mixing two or three different foundations to be able to get the right blend.
I do remember growing up using pencil crayons and stuff in school and people would always refer to it as flesh color and I used to always call it peach because I was like, oh, it's a peach color.
Yeah.
But
all these new shades are such great news for all of the Bogans in Cronulla that want to do blackface on Halloween.
Different shades
and
of blackface.
Just make sure that they can get it the exact shade of blackface that they want to do for their offensive costume. Yeah, it's really good news.
Color match your hatred.
Do you guys go to Mardi Gras?
I've not been.
You've really? Not been?
This year was the first year for me. It was
your virgin Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
I've only been once.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm an old hat. I've been several times. And I
like
love
how
it.
Many how many years has it been going?
Yeah, not since 1978.
No, wasn't it like the 40th?
The 40th anniversary this year. 1978 was the first. I don't know if you guys follow the politics of it.
Yes and no.
The organization. So there's been a lot of, well, it's always been political, but the last couple of years, there's been a lot of controversy in the running of it and a lot of conversations happening in how it's run and what it's there for and that sort of thing. So on Monday, there was a big vote. So there's a what's being referred to as an extreme left group, and I think that's probably a fair judgment to call them that, called Pride in Protest. And what they've been trying to do is ban certain people from marching in the parade. Some of them I agree with and some of them I don't. So there's other little things like banning the use of sniffer dogs, which is something I totally agree with. So some of the people they want to ban, and this was voted on Monday and it was voted down, are the Liberal Party, the Police Force, Armed Services, Qantas and ANZ. Liberal Party sort of goes back to, I don't know if you guys remember a couple of years ago during the marriage equality postal survey, Malcolm Turnbull was uninvited from the Mardi Gras the Mardi Gras board after it was voted on.
Okay.
It's similar reasons they want to ban the Liberal Party from marching. Mm. The police force is obviously because of a lot of things that have happened, like illegal things that members of the police force have done, especially back in the 80s in Sydney. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of LGBTI people, but especially gay men at Beats that were murdered by police members.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a huge thing. And then Qantas because they deport refugees. So there's different reasons for each thing. My personal opinion is I just don't feel like anyone should be banned from marching at Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind, everyone has to apply to march anyway. So it's not a guarantee that you can march. Mm-hmm. But in order to march, you have to have some LGBTI connection. So Qantas have like huge support groups for their LGBTI staff. They've invested a lot of money into Mardi Gras as well as other LGBTI support networks and things like that. The same as ANZ.
Isn't that all their flight attendants?
I think a lot of the flight attendants and the CEO of Qantas.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I remember, I don't like, just as a side note, I don't know if you guys have ever looked through the AIDS quilt. It's all been documented online. And it's stored in, I think, a warehouse because it's so huge.
Okay.
I remember breaking down when I got to, there was like a patch for remembering the Qantas crew members that had died during the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
Wow. And it said something like, "You're flying amongst the stars now." I remember saying that and it just making it so real and bursting into tears. Yeah. Anyway, that's a side.
Oh my God, that just gave me shit.
But there's also ANZ. So yes, you know, there is negative things to that organization, but they also have been supporting Mardi Gras for about 20 years. So I just feel like banning anyone from marching is dangerous territory.
It is.
Yes, I disagree with the Liberal Party's political movements as far as supporting LGBTI people, but I wouldn't want to discourage LGBTI people from joining the Liberal Party if they support it, because that means there's more of us in that party that can make change. Same thing as Qantas and ANZ. Mm. The police, I feel really strongly against banning them from marching.
Definitely.
I know that we have had a difficult history with the police force, especially in New South Wales. However, these are LGBTI police members that want to march, and I don't think we should stop them from doing that. As far as specific politicians go, I think there's a big difference between not inviting and banning. So Malcolm Turnbull was uninvited. I know that he's personally has been a lifelong supporter of marriage equality, but his party that he was leading at the time was putting us through the marriage equality debate. It didn't mean that he was banned from coming to Mardi Gras. He can still come as a private citizen, but he wasn't going to be invited as a official official invitee of Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
I think Mardi Gras, representing the LGBTI community, can be very smart in who it invites and who it doesn't invite as official invitees. And that does send a very strong message about how we feel. Mm. But actively banning anyone, I don't know. It just feels messy for me.
Yeah.
Like, as you said, like, uninviting or just not inviting people that they don't agree with.
Yeah.
Totally, go for it. But, like, actively seeking out these groups and being like, nah, you're banned. You cannot come here.
Kind of seems to be going in the complete opposite direction of, like, what Mardi Gras is supposed to be about.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about inclusivity.
Yeah.
Like,
and if you're excluding all these people.
Yeah. That doesn't mean to say that, oh, great, a neo-Nazi organization want to march. Let's let them march. You still have to apply. You still have to prove why your organization is an important part of the LGBTI community. Yeah. And there are queer liberals. Personally, I don't get why there are, but there are.
I didn't understand the whole police thing for a while because, like, I just hadn't looked into it. And I remember midsummer last year, I think it was, or the year before, when we had the Pride March in St. Kilda, and there was a bunch of protesters once the police were sort of coming down the stretch. And I didn't quite get why. I was just like, oh, like, isn't that a good thing that they're here? Like, they're all LGBT representatives. And then I looked into it. And then, yeah, the violence with the police in the 80s and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like,
well, in Melbourne, it was the Tasty riots. Yeah. I think it was the early 90s.
And, like, that made me sort of understand why people are against having the police in. But at the same time, like,
I don't want to discourage LGBTI people from joining the police force. And the ones that are marching are the ones we want more of. Like, I want to celebrate those individuals in the police force.
Yeah.
Well, I always think, obviously, if you are a part of a hate group or any sort of extremist, you know, they are in some extremes some very black and white standards of neo-Nazis and any sort of hate group. That, I think, is safe territory to make a statement of, like, that is not welcome and it is not okay. But everything in the LGBT world is, to some extent, political, and an important part of being political and having a voice is also having the voice of dissent and a contrasting voice. It doesn't mean that I agree with these people.
Mm.
Well, I agree with some of the points, not all of them. Mm. But I do find that it's always important, especially in the queer community that's built itself up as fundamentally being a voice of dissent in the first place, to keep that spirit and allowing people to voice their opinions. Mm. A lot of the things that I've read about, what is it, PNP? PNP,
Party and Pride.
Party and Pride has been labeled them as anarchists, extremists.
Yeah.
Some pretty violent terms, which doesn't paint them in a very nice light.
Mm.
There was one article saying that, like, their opinions had made someone cry and leave a room.
Well, she had a panic attack, but I think that was more to do with that meeting on Monday ended up going for 3 hours, and there was quite a lot of heated debate, and that person had a panic attack from that and left the meeting.
Yeah, and I think those discussions are really important to have in this day and age, and especially as we've talked about it before with the pink dollar and how problematic that can be for us as individuals, and knowing the facts and even having this conversation now, even if we don't agree with all of the points, everyone listening has at least learnt something about the history or the connections that these companies have, and then can make a choice whether they support it or not. But if it wasn't for these conversations and for people that are the voice of dissent, a lot of people don't know or ever learn or experience that there are histories because it's shielded from them.
Absolutely, yeah. The two companies that they were specifically targeting in this vote was ANZ and Qantas.
Yep.
But there is, and this is around the world, I know London Pride had the same thing, I think San Francisco, there was a lot of discussion about it as well, about corporate sponsorship of Pride events and a lot of companies going for the pink dollar. And I think I've said to you guys, I don't know on the podcast or not, but personally, I think corporate sponsorship of LGBTI events is a fucking brilliant thing. In 1978, when the first march happened in Sydney, so that was following on from the Stonewall riots in the States. So the Sydney one was organized, 250 people rocked up, they had got permission to protest, the police revoked the permission at the last minute, they were like, fuck it, we're marching down Oxford Street anyway. Yeah. People came out of the bars, the 250 grew to 2,000, and by the time that they got to the gardens, they had the shit beaten out of them, they were arrested, their names were printed in the Sydney Morning Herald, their first and last names were printed in the Sydney Morning Herald.
Yeah.
Lots of them were fired from their job because it was still illegal to be gay at the time. So the idea that in 40 years, so that was 1978, it's 2018 now, in 40 years, we've gone from people getting fired for protesting for their rights to companies starting LGBTI support groups and networks within their organization, plus putting their dollar towards putting on these events, because Mardi Gras would not be happening at the level that it happens without this corporate sponsorship. No way. And they know that by doing that, they're going to piss off a lot of extreme right-wing people that do not support the LGBTI community. For them to be able to do that now, I think it's just showing how far we've come, and that's a wonderful thing, I think. And one good thing that I hope will come from this is that Pride in Protest, this what's being referred to as a extreme left group, are trying to get people from their group onto the Mardi Gras board.
To get
And I think that would be fantastic. I think that'd be really good to have someone on the board to challenge ideas and to make sure that they are like taking different perspectives and stuff. I just don't know that I agree with these specific movements that they've tried to have passed.
Sort of like having Kyle on this show.
I
think it's so important in our community to always have a reminder of our past, no matter how distant it is, so we know how far we've come and what's happened, and that we are constantly challenging each other to be better individuals and to be a better community. I think the reason why these talks go for so long, the reason why these meetings go for 3 hours, we have a constant need to really lock things into these black and whites and to be able to lock down and be like good, bad. You know, and it's the problem also with PC culture that we've talked about in the past and really trying to be able to figure out this person's bad now and this person's good. And then oftentimes it's just not the reality. There's some weird gray area where a company can help fund an LGBT event that gives a lot of life to a lot of people and can have a really awful history with LGBT rights in their past. And the both can coexist. And it's how we manage that respectfully.
Well, my birthday is coming up next week.
That's true.
But more importantly, Christmas is coming up.
Well, you're Christ as far as I'm concerned. Thank you. All the best things in life, I think, come in bottles. Amel, messages, and wine.
Yeah. Messages. That checks out with your age.
Why not give a good friend a nice little package this Christmas in a bottle?
I'd love a good package in a bottle.
I feel like that'd be painful.
You know, my tradition every Christmas is just giving someone their own self-portrait made out of macaroni and a few strands of my pubic hair. But I think this year I'm going to mix it up and actually get people something they can use and get drunk off of.
Oh, okay. Just not the stench of your pubes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Other than my pubic hair.
So giving.
If you're stuck for a gift idea, visit thewinegallery.com.au and get $25 off your first box when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout.
So, you know, sometimes when, like, you're just getting it on, you're having a good time, and you accidentally knock over your bottle of Amel.
Yes.
And then your bed just reeks of it, and then there's a big stain.
Yeah. I
mean, well, if you're lucky enough and you have a koala mattress, you don't have to worry about that.
Because you can wash them, can't you?
Yes, you can.
You can unzip it. Oh, wow. And it doesn't matter if it could be a bottle of Amel, it might be some sort of bodily fluid if you're Luke.
Yeah.
And you can unzip the whole thing and pop it in the washing machine.
In the wash, and she's good.
You're referring to tears, right?
Yeah. Oh, God, we need to talk about your sex life, darling. Oh, no. It is not.
We all know there's a whole lot of sinning going on in my bedroom. And exorcisms are so expensive nowadays.
Yes, they are.
So and it is messy. Actually more. And problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really convenient to have a mattress that you can actually wash.
Yeah, that's really something. That's,
and I can finally remove the exorcist from my steep.
And it's the best part about this is it's not so embarrassing when you move house and you have to get the removalist.
Oh my God.
The removalist to pick up that mattress that has the stains right in the middle of the bed.
Like a human shaped stain.
When you've had your late night wanks and you're too lazy to clean it up.
Good Lord. Visit koala.com and get $150 off purchases over $1,000 when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I finally got my wish. We get
braces.
Bitch. I finally get to talk about horror films.
Oh, yay.
Which is something I brought up, I think, in the interview
Oh, really?
For this show, and have been messaging Dan about for ages. We even had a Halloween episode and we didn't get to talk about spooky, ooky horror.
And it's just been yesterday was Halloween.
Yeah.
I was laying down on my floor pretending I wasn't home because there were trick or treaters on my street.
I got such a good burn in at the bar the other day where the bartender came up and was like, "Do you not know it's Halloween? Like, you guys are just here drinking." And I was like, "No, we're going trick or treating after this. We're the scariest thing in the world. We're two fucking homosexuals."
Halloween is not for children in Australia. It's for homosexuals.
But I've always been fascinated because I love horror films. Mm-hmm. Mikey hates spooky, ooky stuff.
Oh my god.
You don't?
But a lot of members of our community gravitate towards the genre. And there's also aspects in drag with Dragula.
Oh yeah.
And we've had this connection to the genre for so long. And people are starting to pick it apart and look at it and go, why is that? But when you think about it, it makes so much sense to me. So the main points I've always felt about horror films and why I love them and why they stood out to me as a child growing up, at least, was that they were often stories about outcasts.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, from the get-go, there was popular kids, there were outcasts, and someone killing them.
Or like Jason was an outcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Or in
you relate to the serial killers, don't
in
you?
The most extreme cases, the killer was the weirdo, bullied, picked on kid that then finally 50 years later is slaughtering the jocks, the cheerleaders, the people that bullied them.
They had it coming.
And all their children.
And that subconsciously, I think, really resonates with people being like, oh, finally, these people, I know these sort of archetypes and they make my life hell.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm watching a film where they are fair game, terrified and at as much risk as I am in day-to-day life. There's also like a level of theatricality to horror films.
I think I think I buy in more to the theatricality theory myself.
So there's that, you know, the killers are getting more and more theatrical and they're almost staged like the performances of how a murder occurs and especially witches and why gay men love witches.
It's all in trend now. Used to be vampires, now it's witches.
Then you look back on a lot of films in the 80s. I love 80s horror films. Yeah. I grew up on them.
Terrible effects.
There's a lot of LGBT sort of undertones and representation in these films. Everyone should go watch Sleepaway Camp. It's an old 80s slasher flick. To tell you why it relates to this topic kind of ruins it.
People, go do your homework.
But I saw that as a kid and it was my first exposure to the LGBTQI community.
Mikey, I think it goes hand in hand with like kind of queer culture and everything. Like take for instance like American Horror Story. I think that's like
I love American Horror Story.
I love it. I mean some seasons are really shit. But like I think it's so camp and like gay and like there's like so much gayness in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like it gives great Halloween outfit inspiration for everybody. I saw an amazing drag queen on the weekend dressed as Myrtle Snow from good. And I think Jinx Monsoon
Polyphila did that in Brisbane.
Oh, was that who it was? Because I was like, they had the big red hair. I was like, this is amazing. I love it so much.
And there are those kind of camp exaggerated characters in it as well, which I think goes back to the theatricality that you were talking about, Luke. I personally am not very good with horror stuff. The last last time I saw something really scary was I was in Adelaide for Adelaide Fringe and Karen from Finance, the drag queen, after our show, was like, "Do you want to go see a late night movie? We should go see Winchester."
No.
And I was like, "Oh, what's that? I've never heard of it." She goes, "Oh, it's got Helen Mirren." I was like, "Oh, camp. Oh, done. We went to the cinema at midnight to watch it. We were the only people in the cinema started and I was like, "What the fuck?" And I watched the whole thing through a crack in my
really?
Fingers.
Wait, how old? Thumbs.
How old was I?
Wait, how old was the movie?
This was 10 months ago. With my thumbs in my ears for the whole thing. Yeah. But since you've told me this theory, I I've been thinking about it more and more. Mm-hmm. And you're totally right. The stuff that I have watched, Scream, the Scream franchise, the whole thing is camp, except for Courtney Cox's Fringe in the third one.
Stop it.
Fucking
awful. It is a crime against humanity.
Scary enough in itself. But also, I don't know if you've been watching the new Sabrina.
Yes, stop.
And I know it's not as scary, but it is
it's
still
quite
definitely
spooky, spooky.
Yeah, it is quite spooky. That is camp. Like Miranda Otto as one of the aunties is fucking
so good. I had day night with the boyfriend last night. We ordered like a whole lot of Chinese food and we watched the first three episodes.
Just so you know, that's not date night. Date night is when you do something. That's just sitting
at home. That is date night. That's whatever.
That's
you
sitting at home with Chinese food.
You don't know my life. And we watched the first three episodes of Serena and we loved it. Like, it's just like strong women, like strong female characters.
Yeah. And it's also, it's got queer elements to it. Like there's a non-binary, I mean, I haven't gotten through the whole season, so I don't know the full storyline, but there's a non-binary character in there. Yeah. There's a gay character in there and stuff.
Oh, I mean, the first sex scene is like a gay scene.
But it's not a gay show.
Yeah, no.
There's only as much LGBTI touch points in there as you would find in any other show, but for some reason, it is camp.
It's so good. Mm. I'm loving it so far. Highly recommend it.
And even if you go back to, I mean, I know they went horror, but as horror as you could get at their time, things like the Addams Family and stuff, when you go back to those early days of television, spooky.
Like mainstream.
Spooky, that was camp, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, Morticia.
What gay guy doesn't love Morticia?
Yeah. I want to be her.
Even like witches, I guess, when you think about it. Hocus Pocus. Yeah, that's you're totally right.
I think the aspect of horror that I don't like is the scary stuff.
Yeah.
Like the real, like, jumpy in your face. Like, I'm not about that. But the more camp fun stuff, like Hocus Pocus and stuff, I just didn't think it
stands out, though, because it's juxtapositioned against the horror stuff, that maybe that campness sticks out more?
I don't know.
Would you consider Hocus Pocus a horror movie?
It's in the realm.
Yeah. Isn't that like I would say, yeah.
It's the kids' starter version. My first horror movie.
No, I don't like gore. That's what I can't do. Like, I can't watch it if it's just like torture porn, like, and just people being cut open. Like, ugh, no.
Yeah. I think horror's always had its roots in camp. And it's becoming more and more prevalent because they haven't had to subvert it or hide it under the layers of popular filmgoers. Is what they're going to pay for. They had to hide the camp sort of deep down, and that's what the LGBT, you know, fans that got addicted to this genre were actually seeing in the films.
Mm-hmm. What about Australian horror? Like,
there've been some good ones.
Wolf Creek, Cassandra McGrath's head on a stick. Oh, that's camp.
That's scary. So the other night, Josh and I were in bed, and he pulled up 60 Minutes on YouTube because, like, he just really likes 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
There was like a situation like a year and a half ago where these two backpackers in South Australia going from South Australia to the Great Ocean Road, and they found someone on Gumtree, and they were just like, "Yeah, I'll drive you there." And the
Gumtree's like Craigslist for international.
Yeah.
A very similar situation to Wolf Creek happened, and we watched the entire thing.
Also, to our international listeners, Australia is a nice place. You can still visit. Not everyone's a serial killer.
You watched the original movie.
No. So it's like a 60-minute.
Oh, so you watched the story of it.
Yeah. So we watched the story of it, and the two girls are actually in it, and they take them back to the beach of where it happened.
Oh my god!
And they reenact the whole thing. And I was like, oh my god, like, this is terrifying.
That's so 60 Minutes. Victims of a really traumatic experience. Can you reenact this for us?
Like, one of them nearly got raped and the other one got bashed in the head with a hammer. And then, like, it was full, like, they were on top of the car, like, and the guy was trying to, like, shake her off the car. And, like, it was really intense. Yeah. And I was like, if this was a horror film, I would not go see it.
Yeah.
It's not something I'd go see.
And then Saw is Australian as well.
Is it? It's Saw Australia
originally.
It's
Australian.
I never watched those.
So the first two Saws were filmed and written in Australia. Ooh. And then the franchise was sold off to an American company. Yeah.
Do you know what my favorite Australian horror is? Babadook. I'm Babadook. And then there was that whole thing about how it got misplaced in the categories on Netflix, and it was under queer films. Yeah. And then just like Babadook became this like big queer icon. Yeah. And then people were dressing up as like drag Babadook for Halloween, and good.
Miles
but it is a really good movie.
Miles J did the Babadook it was the Drag Race final, season 9 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
It's really
good. We class stuff like Party Monster as horror? Is that horror?
I probably would.
Yeah. Because that is fucking amazing.
I don't know what that is.
It's the true story of James St. James and
Michael
Alec.
Yeah.
Who were like the boys that started the party scene the queer party scene in New York.
The Club Kids.
The Club Kids scene.
Oh, okay, yep.
I don't want to give anything away, but watch it.
It got real.
We need to like drop a list of all our
jail. And I love you got out of jail, flew to Australia, and hosted a party.
Yeah, we need to drop a list for all our revolters to like watch all these great horror movies we recommend.
Can I ask how you feel about, you know, the Dragula scene or the kind of connection that drag has?
Can you explain what Dragula is?
I love Dragula. Can you tell me what it is? So Dragula is a show that's been created by the Boulay brothers, who are two horror queens from America.
Yeah.
So it's a very similar sort of setup to RuPaul's Drag Race, but more like gory, filthy, sort of underground version. Of it. It's a horror genre of the whole thing. So they do like different tasks where like they have to eat like animal organs and stuff.
So it's not like runway.
Well, they do a runway.
Like they do a runway, but like each week is like a different.
I did read about this,
like one was like the Seven Sins and like another one was
Alien Invaders.
And it's like the anti-drag race.
Yeah, it's the anti-drag race, which is amazing.
Cool, and it looks like
it is bloody and gore and filthy. Like the filthiest thing I've ever seen.
And camp.
Like, and super camp. Like, but it's the artistry that goes into it is so beautiful.
I feel like Sharon Needle sort of exposed the mainstream to that horror culture and drag, but I'm sure it was around for much longer than her.
It's been around way longer.
Dragula had the most disgusting thing. I've seen almost every single horror film in existence, and Dragula actually made me gag.
Really?
In one episode.
Is it just effects though, or is
No. So this queen mopped, like actually mopped, not mopped.
Yeah.
She mopped the stage. And then dunked it in the bucket and then drank the water out of the mop bucket.
Oh, okay. I thought I could watch this. Maybe I can't watch this.
It's intense. And like pulled hair out of it.
What do you win for that?
Made. You become America's next super monster.
Yeah.
I think is their spin on it.
Cool.
And you win money and then you travel the world.
So we have another fan-suggested topic today.
I love these.
Of the sexy variety. And of course, the shady powers that be chose me to talk about it. Because I talk about sex publicly all the time, you know, and I love it.
You won't
obviously
stop.
Like, I'm not awkward in the slightest about it.
No.
Anyway, it got suggested that we discuss the best sex we've ever had, which I think would be really interesting considering that most of us have shared some horrific stories. So I thought we could all share stories.
You first.
Shocking. Great. Cool. I'm not red in the face.
I've been waiting a week for this.
I was just going to, okay. So when I started dating my boyfriend earlier this year.
Your very hot, muscly boyfriend from the farm. Yeah.
Very big hunk. We actually didn't make Boom Boom for like a month.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Yeah. It was like a whole thing. Everything was going really, really well. The second day we made out for like an hour in his car, like when he dropped me home. I'm like, what's happening? Like, why aren't we having sex? Like, and then I was like, I thought maybe we were like incompatible. Mm. I met his friends for the first time. We went to the aquarium. It was like some drinking night. And we got plastered and we stumbled home and let rip.
It's not a fart.
Oh no, I shouldn't say that. Let's not compare it to that.
That is but the worst description of sex.
And it was glorious. And I think it was really good because like it was so pent up for like so long.
Yeah.
I later on found out that we didn't do it because a friend of his told him if he really liked me, he wouldn't have sex with me.
I hate that.
He went with it and I was like, what? I thought I was like a freak for this long. And we did it again the next morning, the shower. It was awesome.
I've never seen you so comfortable discussing a topic. Comfortable.
I loved talking about sex.
What was the real reason that you didn't have sex for a month?
Sorry. But it was genuinely because he was holding out because he thought it would be bad. It wouldn't look good if he had sex with you.
Yeah, I think so.
Really? I hate that rule.
It's like kind of heteronormative.
He's new.
No, it's not his fault. Like,
I think it's kind of really sweet. After
he's been told that, and he believed what he was told. But I just don't know where that comes from. Like, where did we come up with the idea that if you like someone, you shouldn't fuck them?
It's that old
school. Do we think there's any links with being like batshit crazy and amazing sex? Because
that's a good
question. I think that's because okay, remember in previous story how I told you about how my ex let himself into my house and was like watching me sleep. I'm pretty sure I stayed with him for a year because Yeah.
Yeah, I have had sex with some psychopaths that have been really good at sex. And I am a psychopath. Yeah. And I'm really good at sex. So yeah, I think you're right.
I think there's a big link there.
But it's not 100% hard and fast.
I was going to say ask Tom. And our exes.
Oh my God. Right in. No, don't.
I was really confused when this question came through because it kind of framed it in a way that we have told a lot of sex stories and they're often horrific or not good.
All horrific. You're like,
and I was really confused because those are my, I think I've shared all my best sex positive
stories. See, normal people wouldn't consider.
Those are your positive stories?
Yeah.
Well, for you, you consider them the best because they're the best story, but normal people don't consider bleeding or hospital visits or.
Yeah, I was just a blank. I was like, but I told all of my best.
I think they mean, wait, do you have any memories of sex where at the end the other person's just gone, that was nice or that was good or thanks for that? And then you just sort of roll over and go to sleep and no one has to have any stitches, no Uber Eats delivery men are mostly knocking at the door, though. Anything like that?
No. Okay. Right. I like a high five. I like a good high five.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job. We're both alive.
Now call 000 and get an ambulance.
If you have a hand.
So I was thinking about it and being with Josh, I've actually had some of the most amazing sex in my life. I've had a lot of sex. Like, sex is fun, but like I can't remember having a lot of great sex or like a lot of bad sex. It's sort of just all very mediocre. And then I realized the last time I had really good sex was when I was 16 with one of my high school boyfriends who was incredible in bed. And and I was just like, oh my God, holy shit, I've been having average sex for how long now?
That ain't living.
But like, honestly, Josh and I have the most amazing sex I've ever had in my life. Like,
good for you.
And quite frequent as well.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
Like,
from watching, like, standing from outside. Outside. Standing outside your bedroom window watching
just
it.
Just like, oh, wow. Luke's here again. Hey.
Yeah. I drew you a picture.
Yeah. No, it's like twice a day at this point. Good it's Lord. A fair amount.
Amazing.
It's crazy. I've never had this much sex
that's
in my life.
Nearly as much as I wank.
Josh is under the table right now.
Like, it's amazing. Because like fuck he likes fucking me. I like
which
fucking
is why
him.
I don't get that rule about like don't fuck someone if you like them.
Yeah.
You don't want to spoil it.
I think like the first sort of 2 weeks that we were sort of unsure about what was happening.
Yeah.
We didn't because we worked together.
Yeah. That's
so that's a slightly sort of different situation. But once we were both just like, okay, it's on.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. And then it was just like, bam, 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 let's go. I think the difference between having random hookups and having sex with Josh is that I actually care about how he's feeling in the moment and if what I'm doing is actually bringing him pleasure or not.
Yeah,
and I said to him last night, I get off watching you get off. That's what turns me on the most and that's what brings me the most pleasure. And I think, and he was just like, that's how I feel about you. And I think that's why we have such good sex and we like just have such a good connection. I
there's
like,
some emotional depth there.
Yeah.
It's
not a transaction. Like, I want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah. Like, for you guys, is like hottest sex like with random hookups or like with someone that you're like dating or in a relationship with? Because like, I've never been able to hook up with someone that I don't like previously. Like, I can't just meet someone and be like, oh, you, I don't even know your name. Let's do it. Like, oh, I need to like know you. Jeez. Like,
yeah, I've had most of my sex.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, like, we're obviously all very.
Where's
different.
The nearest public toilet? I have had some incredible sex with partners and a third person, but I wouldn't say the best.
I had sex with chicken nuggets once. That was very transactional. I mean,
it's always a sexual experience with chicken nuggets.
Like, for chicken nuggets or with?
Were you paid nuggets? In chicken nuggets?
I was upset because I didn't get condiments.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe I've come here and you didn't even have to, like, mayo or dipping sauce.
Do you have a condiment?
Look, I can't make me laugh.
Your face cracked a little.
I mean, I've had a really large amount of sex. I've had orgies. I've had sex with men. I've had sex with women, older guys, younger guys. In fact, I think I talked about it in the last or the second last episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My friends and I were trying to work out how many people we'd had sex with. And when you think it's around about 500,000 people.
Wait.
Like, that's a school.
Yeah.
Like, you individually.
That's the amount of people.
You individually.
Sorry, they're not children.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, mathematically, I was working out, like, you know, your average however many. Poor Kyle's face. Oh, my God.
Wait, that's like, you're Kyle, not you and someone's
Do you
numbers.
Know, I remember being your age and having a slightly older gay friend who was in his early 30s and having this exact. I went to uni with him and we had this exact conversation and I was mortified that he said this. This is so funny. I'm having the weirdest deja vu. Yeah. But I promise you, when you get to your your early 30s, it's not going to seem so weird that someone is saying this. But yeah, somewhere around about the 500 people mark.
Cool, cool,
when you
cool,
average
cool,
out
cool,
how many
cool, cool, cool,
it's
cool.
fine. It's fine.
cool,
breathe.
Cool.
Anyway, but the best sex I can remember having was with my last proper boyfriend. So we met, I've also talked about this, we met at Midsummer Festival playing with some lesbians' kids. They have like the Rainbow Family yeah. section
this keeps
set up.
Going back yes, to yes. kids no. and I don't know why.
No, we both like we love kids and we were with friends and
too
there was
much.
Like, yeah. it was in the Rainbow Family section and we were playing with these kids and he was playing with the kids as well and he was like, oh, hey, I'm Sam. Well, I'll say his name, Sammy. And I was like, hi, I'm Thomas. And we started chatting. We had mutual friends. We became friends. That was years before we started dating. We both had boyfriends in that time. We stayed in touch. We were friends. And I always had this massive crush on him. And then we were both single. We started chatting again and it was really regular. And I was like, oh, I think he's interested, but he was so yeah. fucking hot. There's no way he's interested. Then he was going to India for 3 months. And the night before he went, we were chatting. He's like, I'm going to be honest. I find you really attractive. I really want to hang out with you. I'd like to make out with you, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Came around. We had some dinner. We had some drinks. We had a great conversation and we started fucking and we fucked till dawn. I blew we both blew seven times.
Oh my God.
Literally just fuck, shower, sit on the couch, fuck, sometimes we didn't even stop between blows. Yeah, like yeah. we just kept going and going until
like
dawn.
A raisin afterwards?
No, my dick was so sore the next day. But
oh my God.
He then raced home, grabbed his bags and went to India for 3 months. And then he got back and we ended up dating for 2 years. And it was an amazing relationship. And he's a beautiful person. We're still very good friends. I remember that as being like the best, most intense, like just, and then yeah. the whole
he
relationship.
Basically took you to India with him. There was so much of you inside him. Like, Jesus.
We flip-flopped. And also because I think there was like 2 years of pent-up attraction to each other.
What about makeup sex?
Oh, yeah. Like just rage banging someone. Like,
rage banging.
Yeah. I was like, rage fight. I'm like, wait, no, we do say fuck. It's rage fucking someone.
No, it's like post-fight when you're then reconnecting.
Have you ever had sex with someone while you're still fighting? And you're like, yes, we just did that and that was hot, but I still hate you. Goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, Josh and I don't fight. We have disagreements and then we get over it very quickly. Like,
through sex?
Within like 5 minutes, though. Yeah. We've never had like a screaming match or anything, but like there was one like disagreement that went for like 2 hours. Which isn't that long. Like, it's not even a big deal. But then, like, straight afterwards, it was, like, 3 times in a row we had sex. Wow. And it was just like, that was good. Cool.
Good apology.
Yeah. Yep, we're good.
I've had just sex with people that I actively dislike that I'm not even dating. Oh. That I have, you know, on the scene, you run into regular people.
I'm sitting right here, Tom.
I would totally hate fuck you, Luke. I would absolutely hate fuck you. Well, thanks for another gorgeous little podcast. Nice to have us all back together. Please don't go anywhere anytime soon.
Oh my God, I survived. That's over. Don't forget to get on all our socials. Also, join our group because we add a lot of really cool, interesting stuff there. Have some cool discussions.
And there are other cool people in there.
Yeah. I feel like we're setting people up. In my mind, we are anyway. Yeah. People are meeting people. Yeah.
No, there's some really cool people in there.
And we secretly recorded this entire episode in our underwear.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually not entirely
a joke. True.
We don't have shoes on.
It is a 33 degree day today, everybody. It's quite warm.
So we sweated through it. We got to the end. Yeah. And thanks like again for tuning in.
Don't forget to support your local drag.
Oh, thank you for listening, everyone. We'll see you all next week.
Spooky ookie.
Oh, write in with some of your sex stories. That'd be good. And we'll read them out.
That's really opening up Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Who's Pandora?
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.